This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Is Biden in hot water? Talk about that. We'll talk to Megyn Kelly. We got Trump Jr., Eli Crane. We're going to have a blast tonight on I'm Right. All right, let's have a talk. It's time to have a talk with Daddy Jesse. And you know, there's one thing that you're always going to get on this show. Are you going to get a bunch of talent? No, I don't have that. Or knowledge or wisdom. I can't give you any of that. I'm a simple man. I can't give you any of that. But one thing I am actually really good at is telling you the brutal truth. The truth that is uncomfortable. It's maybe the one skill I have, that and making cheeseburgers. So let's have a talk. I know what you've heard, what you've read, what you've watched on TV all day long, the Biden documents. Joe Biden had classified documents. Oh my goodness, what happened now? Is Joe Biden gonna go down? That's only fair, Trump went down. They can't be hypocrites. Uh-oh, is this the smoking gun? Is it, okay, let's have a chat. Just you and me talking, pull up a chair, let's have a chat. You don't live in the America your parents lived in. Now, we've never been a perfect country, but we've been a wonderful country, a just country. Overall, I realize there are always exceptions, but that we've been so wonderful for so long. And because that's all we've really ever known, it's difficult for you and me to adjust to living in a completely corrupt, late-stage republic. We are. We had such a wonderful run, and we hit that mountaintop, and we're on the way down now. I'm not saying we're going to be gone tomorrow. We have years and years and years, decades of prosperity, Lord willing, and all these things coming, but we definitely have hit the peak, and we're on the way down. As part of a late-stage republic, there are things that you have to accept for your own sanity. You don't have to accept them because they're acceptable. Not at all. They're very unacceptable, but there are things for your own sanity you have to accept. One of the things, one of the major things you have to accept right now is the entire administrative state, all of it. DOJ, IRS, CIA, FBI, DNI, it doesn't matter. They're all activist Democrats now. Activist Democrats now. They go to work and they think about how to protect their friends and punish their enemies. And who are their enemies? You. And that administrative state, including the DOJ, when you combine that with extremely weaponized judges in the federal court system, you have to get to the point where you have to accept that there's not going to be justice for many things. And I know that is difficult. I know that's difficult to hear. You don't see me sitting over here cheering, saying it for you. But there have been many countries throughout history, many, you might even argue most, but many countries throughout history, many countries in the world today, where their citizens have accepted there are people who aren't going to be prosecuted, and there are people who are. And we've always looked at those countries, oh, look at that banana republic. Oh, look at those guys. Look how corrupt they are. Ah, Soviet Union, Mexico. Look at all these. That's us now. I'm sorry. I don't mean to burst your bubble, but this isn't Joe Biden going down. This isn't going to stop the DOJ from aggressively going after Donald Trump for doing the exact same thing, prosecuting Donald Trump. We can scream all day long, why didn't they raid him like they raided Trump? They didn't raid him like they raided Trump because they hate Donald Trump and they like him. And there's no such thing as justice in the federal system now. It's not more complicated than that. You're not dealing with people who are going to look down, okay, well, we have these documents, and let's see, we have these documents over here. Let me see. Hey, look, we have no choice. Justice is blind. We have to prosecute both of them. Come on. You're dealing with activist Democrats now. The Biden council, Biden's people, found the documents. By the way, every single president takes classified documents, everyone, Republican and Democrat, because the lines between personal and professional always get blurred. Presidents like to take little trinkets, little memory items when they leave. They all do this. they're not going to prosecute Joe Biden for it. They're going to simply make all the excuses in the world. His legal counsel turned him in, so on and so forth. I mean, look, you see exactly what the reality is when you find out that they found these documents. Biden's legal counsel told the DOJ about these documents a week before the midterm election, and the DOJ just kind of lost all those just until today. Weird. Waited until after those midterms before they made a public announcement like that. So I'll tell you what's going to happen. The Biden administration is going to ignore any serious questions about it. I mean, well, Joe Biden's already ignoring questions about it.
Agradecemos a los medios.
Of course he's going to ignore questions. Of course he's going to stonewall. This will all go away. And people were mad about this clip of Joy Behar on The View talking about, well, I mean, look, we trust Joe Biden, so it's not a big deal when he does it. We don't trust Donald Trump. But forget about The View. It's not really important what Joy Behar, what that hag has to say. What's important is that you understand the entire DOJ, FBI, all of them, they all actually think exactly like this.
Really, I think that what you just said is that there are differences in what happened.
Yes, but you know, the optics are not good.
Well, we all know that Trump is a liar and a thief, you know? We know that. So it's not that big a jump to say that he obstructed and he lied. We don't think that Biden is a liar and a thief, so we give him the benefit of the doubt. That's partly what's going on.
Doesn't matter that Joe Biden is the biggest liar in the history of the presidency. Nobody has told more gigantic, easily verifiable lies than Joe, but none of that matters. What it matters is you understand you live in a late-stage republic and there ain't no justice coming, Biden documents or not. Not from the federal government, anyway. We'll ask Megyn Kelly about that right about now. Joining me now, the great Megyn Kelly, who needs no introduction. Nevertheless, she's a journalist, host of The Megyn Kelly Show, which is awesome. It's on SiriusXM Triumph Channel 111. That's 111 in my community college every weekday at noon Eastern Time. Can also be found at YouTube.com/Megyn Kelly, wherever you get your podcasts as well. Megyn, talked a little bit about the Biden documents. I don't know. I guess I'm not hopeful that anything's going to come of this. Yeah. It is a big deal, but it's not going to get treated like a big deal. But am I wrong?
No, nothing's going to come of this. And it's so clear what they did here. You know, they find the documents prior to the midterms and they keep it quiet so that they can set up their whole lane of defense before it breaks publicly, right? They talk to the attorney general, they get an investigation going just so that they don't look like they're being overly harsh on Trump. Oh, see, we do this whenever we find a former president or a sitting president has documents he shouldn't have in his off-campus facilities. This is, of course, that's why we got a U.S. attorney involved and we had the attorney general look into it, and he could very well be charged. You know, you never know. The FBI took a... Oh, baloney. They know very well none of that is going to happen. And frankly, it shouldn't happen. It shouldn't happen to Trump. It shouldn't happen to Biden. And the only reason they called Merrick Garland is because they want the fig leaf of looking like they're fair, and they just do this to everybody. That investigation is going to go nowhere. There will be no charges, even though we're told there were top secret documents in the Biden stash. And the Trump investigation will probably result in criminal charges. And they're just trying to make it look like they treated them both exactly the same.
Megyn, you're the smart person who went to college and you know all this legal stuff. So I have to ask, does it, I know the Biden stuff's going nowhere, but does it give Trump some legal cover that Biden was busted with some documents too? Does it give him any cover at all? Does it help him?
I mean, I think it helps him in the PR war. I'm not sure it helps him in the legal war, but it certainly helps him in the PR war because the average American can understand they both did it and they only went after the one guy. You know, that's the bottom line for a lot of people. And I recognize there are differences. Trump did all the things he did. You know, we understand that these two situations are not exactly the same. But let's face it, the only reason the Biden lawyers probably raised this as an issue when they found these docs was because of the Trump issue. I mean, what would happen if we went through Jimmy Carter's files? What would happen if we went through Barack Obama's files? Bill Clinton, never mind. You're going to find a ton of this stuff. Typically, presidents managed to have a few documents that they probably shouldn't otherwise have in their files, and we've never gone after them criminally. And look, I know that the mainstream press is like, but Trump had nuclear secrets. Well, that hasn't been proven. That hasn't been proven at all. In fact, some of the latest reporting on the Trump thing is like, he liked tchotchkes. That's probably why he kept maybe the Kim Jong-un note to him. What, did it really compromise national security? That has yet to be proven. In any place that I would trust, like not from Maggie Haberman at the New York Times. I'll believe it when I see it in a court of law. But the point is, they're not treating him the same as they've treated the others. And this fig leaf on the Biden situation doesn't change that.
The Bill Clinton files. Better wear some rubber gloves for that one. All right, you know what? Let's talk about the timing of all this. Joe Biden, he's prepping for a 2024 run. I can't believe I'm actually saying that out loud. He's apparently prepping for a 2024 run. They're clearly flirting heavily, the Democratic Party is, with Gavin Newsom. They're dancing, their hand is on his butt, but Joe Biden's saying he's going to run. What am I supposed to make of the Democrat primary in 2024?
I think the Democrats feel energized by those midterms and actually think that this, you know, man who's really struggling with his cognitive abilities can nonetheless, if he can't actually do the job, he could re-win the job. And they are going to stick with the one that brung them. You know, I think that's kind of the thinking, because these same people in that Hill article and other places are saying, I didn't believe he could do it before, but now I do. I was a doubter, but now I'm a believer. But they're totally discounting the whole line of concern when it comes to his mental function. I mean, Jesse, just this morning we were talking about on my show, when he went down to the border for his 2 minutes, he managed to commit another gaffe. He met somebody from the Salvation Army. You saw from the Salvation Army and started saying, like, I spent time with the Secret Service over in Ukraine. What, like, what? Then he corrected himself and changed it to Salvation Army. So unclear whether, you know, he misspoke or he was genuinely confused. But the Salvation Army plays the music on the corners at Christmas time and you donate to, but they don't protect you. It's like, he was one step away from asking them, the guy, how many Taliban kills he had. It was like, hello.
Megan, I understand that it's tough. You got to dance with the one who brought you, as you pointed out. But have they considered that Kamala Harris is the successor? Joe Biden is a very old man, and I don't wish any physical harm on him whatsoever, but he's an old man, not doing well, gonna run him another 4 years. What happens if, God forbid, they have to cart the man out the back of the White House and she has to take over? Isn't that disaster for a party to have somebody that unlikable as the face of the party?
Yeah. I mean, I think what we've seen when it comes to these elections and maneuvering and so on is the Democrats may be objectionable and outrageous in some of their policies, but they're not dumb. Like, they're pretty savvy in their strategy in a way I think a lot of people wish the Republicans would be a lot of the time, right? Like, they pulled off those midterms by making it abortion, 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 Trump, all the stuff. So they know she can't win. They know this, which is yet another reason why it's like, new life in the Biden sails. Oh, they don't care if they have to weaken and Bernie him over the line a second time, or he's got to go back down in the basement. They know they can't win with her, and they know they can't bounce her, you know, given their commitment to identity politics. So, and certainly not for like the white man out of California, Gavin Newsom. So they need Biden to be their guy this just until they get over the finish line for the second term. And whatever happens from that point is somebody else's problem. I'm sure they'd love to see her subbed out.
Yeah, then they'll figure it out from there. All right, Megan, finally, the Republican side. It has been thought, I know you've said this on your great show, that Donald Trump is the presumptive nominee. For the longest time, I just thought Donald Trump was the presumptive nominee. I don't know if I believe that anymore, and I'm going to ask his son about that coming up next. I don't know if I believe that anymore. There have been missteps. He seems a little maybe out of touch, and whatever you say about Donald Trump, out of touch is not something that I would have called him ever. But am I crazy? What am I seeing right now?
I still think he's the presumptive nominee. It's not to say he's, you know, 100% going to get it, but I'd certainly put the money on him over anybody else right now, including DeSantis. And that's not to say that DeSantis isn't necessarily going to be the standard bearer of the Republican Party, but right now it's still Trump. He's a former president. It's tough to match that, whether you're a Dem or a Republican. He's a former president who can still run and says he is running. And by the time he left office, had huge support from the Republican Party. Yes, he hurt himself with the January 6th stuff and since then, but most Republicans also believe the election was stolen from him. But, you know, his inability to focus on them as opposed to himself, I think, is hampering him somewhat. But that's not to say when he actually goes full Trump on DeSantis or anybody else in a primary, they're not going to immediately fall right back in love with him and get back on board. So I still think the smart money's on him. I think DeSantis will probably be the Republican nominee, if not this time, then someday. But I don't think with Trump in the race, it's this time around.
Megyn Kelly, you're the best. Talk soon.
Great to see you, my friend.
Me too. All right, we're going to ask Trump Jr. about that. About a lot of things. He's going to join us next. He's always a good time. Before we do that, let's talk about what's the big problem we face. We've talked about it a bunch on the show. Is it the communists? No, we know what they are. The problem is the low-T GOP. The problem is this pathetic GOP that stands in the way when we want anti-communist things done. Look, I love the boys at Chalk, mainly because they're hardcore anti-communists like me, because they have natural herbal supplements, not big pharma trash for your body, because they actually take pride in this country and what they do. And I love that they have a male vitality stack. 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days with natural supplements. Ladies, there's a female vitality stack. They have lit powder added to your smoothie every morning. You're not gonna believe everything they have there. And they have 35% off subscriptions. 35% off, that's ridiculous. Cancel anytime. If it doesn't do what I tell you it does, you cancel. It does. And you're not gonna believe how good you feel after just 90 days. Go to chalk.com, C-H-O-Q.com, promo code Jesse gets you the discount on the subscription. Get the subscription, save yourself some money. Chalk.com, promo Jesse. We'll be back.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
When you saw the photograph of the top secret documents laid out on the floor at Mar-a-Lago, what did you think to yourself, looking at that image?
How that could possibly happen? How anyone could be that irresponsible? And I thought, what data was in there that may compromise sources and methods? By that I mean names of people who helped, or et cetera. And it's just totally irresponsible.
He's so old and tired. Joining me now, Donald Trump Jr., host of the news show Triggered with Don Jr. only on Rumble. Oh, I'm going to ask him about that here in a minute. That's freaking cool. What a score for Rumble. But first, all right, Don. Well, boy, I can't imagine anything more irresponsible than having classified documents you're not supposed to have as president. It's not like every president in the world does this, but Joe Biden thinks that's very irresponsible.
Well, apparently it's very irresponsible, and Joe Biden himself now did it. Should shock no one. I mean, it seems like it's a page right out of the communist playbook, right, Jesse? It's like, accuse others of doing all the things that you're doing. I mean, how many more times do we have to see this? But what I'm really wondering, Jesse, is, because I haven't seen it yet, and you would think there would be reports of the FBI's hostage rescue team, the team that helped to raid Mar-a-Lago. You'd think they'd be involved with this because apparently they've now been elevated to this level of prosecution in looking into these things. But I haven't seen the reports yet. It must be underway and kept quiet, because I'm wondering when that's going to happen.
Yes, I'm sure. And make sure you notify CNN before you bring the HRT in to kick indoors to make sure your political opponents look as bad as humanly possible. Okay, this actually leads me into something that is very serious and very sad. The justice system in this country, doesn't matter what people think about it one way or the other, I can't stand it, but half the country doesn't trust it, at least. And It might be more than that.
I don't know that anyone trusts it at this point. I just think that 50% are fine with it because they understand that there's a different level of justice for them. You know, the notion of the Democrats, right? You see what's going on with Trump and or Biden. You look at Hunter Biden versus me. Look at what they did to me with literally nothing out there. And yet I've done countless hours before congressional committees, Senate committees for treason, Jesse. A minor detail, given that it's a crime punishable by death. But Hunter Biden can take millions from Russian oligarchs. He can launder money linked to human trafficking rings. He can get no-show job payments for Ukraine while his father's in positions of power there. And we are told by even the highest levels of authority in our intelligence community that it's Russian disinformation for 2 years until it isn't, and then it's forgotten as though it's no longer relevant. So there is a two-tiered justice system in this country. If anyone doesn't believe that at this point, and even some people I know who are, let's call it, you know, left-leaning but not insane, are just now starting to understand exactly how bad that is.
By the way, I wanted to ask you about that. You have been investigated endlessly, and you keep coming up so clean. It's a little bit concerning. You were never tempted to commit even tiny crimes? What's wrong with you? I'm a little disappointed.
Well, I'm looking now at the Hunter stuff. If I had known this stuff then, that would have been like a hall pass to do whatever the hell I wanted to for like a 4-year period. Because apparently, if you're the son of the president of the United States, you can do all of these things. Luckily, crack was never my thing. I guess don't knock it till you've tried it. But I guess, I've avoided that. But that's again, that's not the narrative that you see. People will watch this interview, and the leftists will say that I was clearly high on something. Ignoring the fact that the actual president of the United States' son is on video doing these things. So what I want to know is, like, what are the things that Hunter Biden chose, Jesse, not to put on video? Like, when he was sitting there being like, you know what? Like, maybe this is too far. I won't film it anymore. It'd be interesting to know.
You have a new show on Rumble, and I'll tell you, I forget when I saw it. It was a week ago, maybe. I don't remember exact time frame. And I looking at my phone, checking out the news of the day, and I saw that, and I thought, dang, Rumble, that is a huge score. Where'd this whole deal come from? How'd this come about?
Well, it's interesting. Chris Pavlovsky is the CEO of Rumble way before they went even public. I've been sort of on the leading edge of this sort of free speech movement. I've been the guy, I've been talking about censorship for 6 years before it was cool to talk about online censorship, just because I had such a big platform and I saw what they were doing every day. I was one of the people they called a conspiracy theory when they say, well, how do you, I'd ask the question, how do you go from like 10,000 retweets to 4 in a day? And, I'm clearly on a list. And, I was called all sorts of names. And so I've been a big proponent early on of all of these free speech platforms and, competitors to what I've seen as big tech, whether it's Google, big tech, social media platforms that have really gone so far out of their way. Let's make no mistake. What was going on at Twitter, and we now know that happened at Twitter, you're telling me that wasn't also and still isn't going on at Facebook and the other places and Google, and by the way, and probably in every mainstream newsroom in America. That bias has existed there. I've been calling it out for so long. So I think I was like the second verified sort of personality, just uploading some of my short form content onto Rumble. I was an early guy trying to help them out and get a foothold. Now that, again, some of this stuff is out there, maybe Twitter's gone around the corner a little bit for now, but not in terms of video platform. YouTube is still a disaster. I'm sure you've probably experienced that. And certainly many of our friends in the conservative movement who are willing to say the stuff that is true and that was willing to talk about the conspiracy theories that all end up being 100% right about 100% of the time within about a 6-month period. I was that guy, and I just said, as long as mainstream media is going to continue to do that, we need voices to be out there. And I'm going to help the outlets, whether they're sort of, the red state economy businesses or even just free speech platforms. There's going to be plenty of left-leaning people on Rumble too, because that's what we're supposed to have in a democracy and in a republic. We're supposed to have that debate, not have a one-sided conversation. And so I'm just excited to get on there. I believe that we need that to help our country, and hopefully people like what I have to say.
It's funny that You brought up getting suspended from YouTube, because I get our entire network suspended basically routinely. I know you're going to find that shocking. And it's something that we've all been shocked by. Yes, I know. We've all been shocked by how powerful they are and how much of a daunting task it is to create an alternate economy. Because we very clearly do have to create some sort of a parallel economy, and some of those efforts have been crushed. But are we getting smarter and better? Are we building one now, or are we still so far behind that we're just a million miles away from freedom?
Well, listen, I think we're far behind, but people are now onto it, right? For so long, conservatives, you do a great job of this on social and Twitter and everywhere where you're talking about, like, hey, we got to be engaged in this battle. I think I try to fight that same fight, which is like, we can no longer do the, well, I'm going to turn the other cheek, and I hope they're going to do the right thing. And I think, no, but for a long time, it was, you know, I was going to do a book like 2 years ago, right after my last one, I was going to do a book on cancel culture, but I was like, man, there's no happy ending here because we're getting our asses kicked. And yet now you look at what's going on. Look at Netflix stock price, there wasn't the, trans Asian at the signing of the Declaration of Independence in the Netflix recreation. Like, people have said enough. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Like, just like creating a story that doesn't exist to satisfy woke components of society. Disney stock is half price because they're jamming their stuff. No one cares about if someone's LGBT now. I don't even know anyone that bothers. What we don't want is the narrative just jammed down our throat constantly, where you got to force feed it to young children and they can't get a pack of cigarettes for another 15 years, but we're going to allow them to chop off their genitals to conform to their woke teachers' desires. Like, people have had enough. So I think, with a Rumble, there's someone's taking on. I think, with Truth Social, I think honestly, Elon Musk so far at Twitter, let's see, how that plays off. But, I like it. I see a different level of engagement there. People are looking for that. And I think then on the business side, the same thing's happening. People are taking the time rather than just going to Google and finding what the Bolsheviks would want you to find when you're searching for something. They're saying woke corporate and the policies and the things that they're funding, they're waking up to that. There's guys like Michael Seifert at Public Square, who's putting out an app where people can find businesses that have conservative values and they believe in the stuff that you believe. And guess what? You're going to search on Google or you search on their app. It takes the same amount of time, but like, you can put your money and vote with your wallet and put someone who believes in the stuff that you do, put their kid through hockey practice or whatever it may be. Like, I think people now are so fed up. They're so sick of it. The left has gone so far with the insanity that people are going to go out of their way and they're going to find these other things. So I'm a huge believer in that movement. I think it'll be a big part of what I talk about on the show and Rumble as these things emerge. And there's going to be plenty of merge that don't work, right? But when you find someone who's doing something really cool that has sort of the brain power and the capital to get it going, like, I think we're going to give these guys a run for their money. And we don't, it's a daunting test, man. Like, we are up against a lot. These people, as you know, and I think you've probably said it the same way as I have, they would put us in the gulags. But the fact that they would, and the fact that they're not even pretending that they won't anymore, people are like, yeah, maybe I won't give my hard-earned dollars to Starbucks, or maybe I'll just go find the coffee shop that believes what I believe in and vote accordingly. And I used to be, as a business guy, I mean, we were in hotels and real estate. Like, I wanted to appease 360 million Americans and another 6 billion people around the world. Guess what? We'll do just fine, catering to 160 million Americans that actually believe this stuff. And I promise you, there's independents that are watching and saying, you know what? It's gone too far. Other people are going to glom onto this. It's about helping that small business, not corporate America. It's about understanding where your money then goes in the economy. And honestly, I don't know that there's anything more important.
Where can people get this show? The show is Triggered. He's Don Jr. Obviously, you know who he is. How do people get it? How much does it cost? Where do we find this thing?
Well, there's a couple components to it. There's going to be sort of a live component. What Rumble did really unique is they worked with Dave Rubin and integrated the Locals platform. So there's actually going to be a component that you can flip onto on the subscription thing where you can interact and go live back and forth with me, where it's not just listening to me be a talking head for an hour, but where I'm seeing what you're putting up there. I'm answering your questions and interacting live, whether it's with me or whether it's with a guest. What's really sort of cool about the platform is, and I've known Chris for so long and been working with it, he's like, hey, man, like, do what you want. Let's see what works, and we'll go from there. So I think we have some flexibility, and I look forward to sort of the feedback from the people. You know, that's what I've been doing this for. I mean, for me, it's about making sure that that voice of mainstream America gets heard. And I understand that's perhaps ironic given where I'm coming from. But again, if I cared that much about comfort, it would have been a lot easier to be a real estate developer from New York City and to shut the hell up. But I just wanted to engage.
No, I would say you and your father have both given that normal guy a voice. Credit to both of you. Don, please come back soon. Appreciate you, brother.
I'll do that, man. Good to be with you, Jesse.
All right. Well, let's have a chat. That was actually really cool. Don's always awesome. We have a new GOP. Well, we're getting a new GOP. It's a process. It's a slow process, but it's a process. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about how we're getting tougher. But we're also going to talk about times getting tougher. I don't need to beat you over the face with all the economic doom and gloom predictions, what they're calling the Great Recession Part 2, Great Depression Part 2, whatever, however you want to put it. No one's pretending like 2023 is going to be a good year. Nobody. I haven't seen anyone say that. What do we do? Should we just lay down and cry? No, it doesn't do any good. Make preparations. That's it. Make preparation, basic preparations. No, I don't expect you to build a nuclear bunker in your yard, although that would be sweet. But does everyone in your home, everyone, have 3 months worth of food? You know, that's basic necessities, right? Even FEMA will tell you that. Does everyone in your home have 3 months worth of food? My Patriot Supply, they have 3 month food kits sitting there ready to go. They ship it fast. They ship it to your home, unmarked boxes. This is basics for preparation. They've got them $250 off right now. Just go to mypatriotsupply.com and get you yours, all right? Make preparations. Don't cry. Make preparations. We'll be back. All right. We had late stage Republic talk already. So as part of that kind of theme, it's a central theme, I guess, on tonight's show, but as part of that theme, let's do have a discussion about the system itself. Because what did we just see? We saw the system try to get its own way without having to make any changes that disrupted the late stage Republic looting that's going on. And you saw system disruptors. You saw people like Eli Crane, like Lauren Boebert. You saw people like Dan Bishop step in and actually upset the apple cart. I mean, remember the list of concessions? What it was, separating a bill out into single subject things and then giving people 72 hours to read the bill? That's a basic thing. There's no argument against that unless you're just openly corrupt and want to ram through big bills that people can't read. That's the only argument against that. Yet the system fought very, very hard against that. That is interesting, isn't it? The system fought very, very hard against things like a subcommittee that is going to aggressively, apparently, if we're to believe them, go after the administrative state that has been weaponized against Republicans. Well, if you have a weaponized administrative state, it would make sense that you have to clean that out, right? That's a basic thing. And yet the system, not just on the left, but on the right, the system fought very hard against it. I bring that up to bring this up. Leslie Stahl on CNN said something, and it wasn't intelligent because she's Leslie Stahl, but it's a very common way of thinking in the system.
The historic chaos in the House of Representatives this past week embarrassed not only a party, but an entire nation. A small minority blocked the House from electing a leader or even swearing in its own members. Yes, it was only for a few days in January, but if members of the incoming majority party can't bring themselves to support a new leader, then one wonders what happens when Congress faces tough decisions.
Okay, so Leslie Stahl is stupid, but what just happened scared the system. And speaking of scared, those 20 people who just became system disruptors, real system disruptors, not just fiery speeches on the House floor, but getting things that are tangible, real tangible changes, I hope they all understand that they are now squarely in the crosshairs of the system, because as we've seen from what they've done to Trump and many others, when you have a system disruptor, the system, corrupt systems, late stage republics have a way of squashing those people to make sure they just shut up and stop upsetting the apple cart. Just something I wanted to draw your attention to. One of those system disruptors is Eli Crane, freshman congressman out there voting president, or president, out there voting president. What's he doing? We're going to ask Eli about that next. We're also going to ask Eli, maybe, if he's taken the time to clear the viruses and mold out of his congressional office. You see, I know he just moved into his congressional office, but I bet you it smells because he's replacing someone else. What if that person smelled? What if they didn't shower? What if they had a dog in there, cat pooping all over the place? I don't know what they did. Neither does Eli. What he needs is 3 Eden Pure thunderstorms like we have here at the studio. You see, we have Eden Pure thunderstorms plugged in every single room of the studio here. And so when you walk in, even though it's a bunch of dudes who work here, it smells clean because our air is constantly being cleaned. The viruses, the mold, they're gone. Let's hope Eli did the same. Go to EdenPureDeals.com because they have a deal there, $200 off a 3-pack. EdenPureDeals.com, promo code Jesse is what gets you that deal. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse. Go get yourself a 3-pack or 6 like I have. We'll be back.
Crane.
Present.
Present.
Who is this upstart freshman congressman out there stepping on toes already? Joining me now, my friend Eli Crane, former Navy SEAL, congressman from Arizona, one of the few I actually like. What's wrong with you, Eli? Don't you know leadership's going to be mad about that, stuff like that?
Well, Jesse, you know, happy to be here. Happy to be representing the people of Arizona's 2nd Congressional District. And you know, this whole thing has just been about keeping the promises that I made to folks in the district, being their voice up here in this room. And as you know, sometimes when you actually represent the people that sent you here, it's not always popular in this town.
What has the response been from your district? Because I have heard from virtually every DC GOP type, all the talking, for almost all the talking heads too on radio, TV, everyone, that you guys are a bunch of treasonous terrorists, traitors out there, but I'm very curious what the people actually think.
Well, it's interesting that you asked that, Jesse, because not too many people seem to care what the people think. And, you know, the people, the overwhelming response that we're getting from the district and for the people is, hey, thank you so much for actually sticking up for us and not just, you know, going along to get along. And so, you know, that means a lot to us. It means a lot to all 20 of us who, you know, really tried hard to affect change up here. And so thank you to everybody out there who has, you know, been encouraging. And it does mean a lot to us.
I'm glad there were 20 Republicans that stood for something and were willing to have a fight. I don't know why our side is so uncomfortable, though, with fighting. Explain that to me, Eli. Obviously, you're somebody who would be quite comfortable with fighting. But the second there's an argument, I mean, the whole time I was simply saying, what's the big deal? They're having an argument for a few days. The second voices get raised or someone gets their feelings hurt, immediately the mentality on the right is that this is the end of the world. We got to make the noise stop. How did we become so soft?
Well, I don't know if it's cultural or what it is, Jesse, but I did tell the folks back home that I would be somebody that came up here and fought for them. And I wasn't coming up here to go along, to get along. And so, you know, you're right, though. I think that I was really disappointed in the way I saw many conservatives cover, you know, this whole thing and, you know, just trying to demonize us and villainize us for actually doing what many Americans want to see. And that is representatives actually stick up for them. You know, Jesse, it's crazy to me how many, you know, folks that run for office go home and they tell their constituents, oh, I'm going to come up here and fight for you and, you know, do this and do that. you know, and then they get up here and they cave to the pressure. And before you know it, you know, after a couple of years, you know, without even knowing it, they become a part of the establishment. And it's sad to see, but I did experience last week, you know, the tremendous amount of pressure that gets thrown at you when, you know, you actually, you know, represent something more than your own self-interest. And it's pretty impressive, but I'm glad and I'm honored to be a part of a small group that actually was willing to, you know, get in a little bit of a fight. And I think we got some good concessions, you know, for the American people. But, and even more importantly, Jesse, I think this Republican Party now knows that there will be, you know, folks in this Congress that are actually willing, you know, to make things uncomfortable if need be, to get what we need to get done to start turning this thing around.
When you say pressure, explain what you mean. What does leadership do? I'm not asking for names. You do whatever you want, but what do they do? How do they make you feel pressure? You're up there voting present. I'm sure they were making you feel the heat in some way.
Yeah, well, I mean, to be honest, you know, you're getting phone calls and text messages from some of the most, you know, powerful people in our party, you know, in the country. You know, you're seeing it on the news. You're seeing what people who you've watched for years and have a tremendous amount of respect for, you know, calling you all sorts of names. And, you know, a lot of people just cave under that amount of pressure. But like I said, I'm glad that, you know, there were many of us that had been meeting and talking about this for, you know, over a month. And I think we were, you know, we were very cautious about it, but we were resolute and we were willing to take a risk. And we were also very prayerful about it, Jesse. We wanted to make sure that, you know, this wasn't about any personal vendettas or, you know, grandstanding, but we actually wanted to affect change up here. And I think that, you know, I know not everybody agrees, but I think that a lot of people believe that, you know, we definitely got some good concessions and Congress is going to be a whole lot better because of it.
Yeah, I believe so. Eli Crane, you're the best, my brother. Semper Fi. Come back soon.
Jesse, thank you, brother.
Good man right there. He gives me some hope. There are a few of them out there that really give me some hope. He's one of them. We have a light in the mood. More bad lip reading. Next. All right, it's time to lighten the mood again. And bad lip reading has been featured a couple times recently on the show. You know, there's actually a cool story behind bad lip reading. Maybe I'll tell you sometime. But it is hilarious. What a hilarious concept. This time it's between Kevin McCarthy and Matt Gaetz.
Son, what does a gopher build? Can you say it? Well, who knows? A really rich doctor said you were a bummer.
And I think you don't know algebra.
No, we're talking science, bud.
The science of what? Is that a tiger?
One of your friends promised me I could flick you in your face.
Absolutely, you may not do that.
Hit him in his cringy smirk for real.
Say any cereal name.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
You're like people in the 12th century.
Why'd he say it like that?
You're a formulated
He's
pickle
worse
popper.
Than that. He's a storm cloud.
I don't like you, dude. And there's a tiger. Oh, that's it. You two guys sent the tiger.
What?
Not me.
What?
I mean,
tiger?
That's just, I mean.
That is reprehensible.
Okay, yeah. Okay,
Brad,
I'm a horrible person.
Brad, I'll report you to Nadine.
I just want your leg bones to be okay. I brought the tiger.
Really, you got somebody on the organ now? Hey man, you're gonna pay for dinner. You're gonna fix no! I'm gonna fix the sandwich, get off him!
Who comes up with that? I'll see you tomorrow.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.